I'll add my welcome to Kelvin's welcome, especially if you're new or visiting here with us at Christ Church Lavender Bay. Can I encourage you, if you are new or visiting, please do fill out one of our lavender cards on the pews so that we can greet you and know you by name, or if you've got changes of details or anything that you would like to engage with in the staff and you're a regular member, please also use those cards that you can then place in the offertory bag or in the box at the back of the church. I'd like to tell you about my friend David. David was abandoned by his mum when he was just 8 years old, and he lived with his dad. And sadly, his dad passed away when he was 15. David ended up growing up on the streets. David has a mental disability, and yet he's one of the most gifted guys I know. He doesn't have much, but he is extremely generous. He finds it hard to fit in, but he's also tremendously loyal. David ekes out an existence painting caravans at the local caravan park. When he noticed at his local church, the church where I was working at the time, that there was some touching up of paintwork that needed to be done, he simply got in and did it. When the call went out from one of the ladies' ministries for somebody to help set up 100 chairs and tables to go with that every week for their ministry on Thursday morning, David was the first to put his hand up. Some 6 years later, he is still every Thursday morning from 7 a.m. setting up 100 chairs and tables for that particular ministry. And then he waits, and then he packs them all up at the end of that ministry. David is a painter, not particularly gifted, but able. And indeed, for every infant baptism that occurred in the church, he would pick up a paint-by-numbers picture from the local news agency, place it on a canvas, paint that beautifully, and also write the words of John 3:16 and present that then to the child for their baptism. I would say that David is a spiritually gifted man. He has a supernatural capacity for service to God for the building up of the church. Well, over this sermon series, we're looking at the values that we have as a church. Last week, we looked at our Christ-centeredness and our Bible foundation as a church. This week, we're looking at the generous use of everyone's spiritual gifts for the building up of the body of Christ. To do that, we're going to jump into 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and a few other parts in the Bible as well. But before we do get into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we need to set the context a little bit for why Paul was writing this letter. The Corinthian church was a relatively young church, as were all of the churches at the time. Paul had heard that there was some disarray in this church in Corinth. Indeed, there was the abuse of power that was going on in the church. There was boasting about certain gifts. And as Graham read out from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we suspect that the misuse of tongues was one of those boasts that was going forth. There was even sexual promiscuity occurring within members of the church. And the church services themselves were unloving and self-centered. So he begins in chapter 12 addressing the issue of spiritual gifts, and he gives the clarification. So if you've got 1 Corinthians chapter 12 there, I encourage you to have that open in front of you. In verse 1 we read Paul saying, Now, church in Lavender Bay, about the gifts of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Spiritual gifts are a supernatural capacity of God given talents to his people through abilities or endowments to be used for his glory and his work in the world for the building up of his people. Supernatural capacity of God given talents, abilities, and endowments. As we work through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll see that there's three different sections here. Firstly, Paul explains a test for spiritual gifts. Secondly, he explains the source of spiritual gifts. And thirdly, the use of spiritual gifts. And so he begins the test of spiritual gifts. Firstly, spiritual gifts glorify God. Verse 3, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. People have questioned when they actually received the Holy Spirit and when they might have received a gift from the Holy Spirit. As a Christian, can we expect that there's certain endowments that are given immediately that we will know spectacularly at that particular time or moment? Well, I think that is to misunderstand the role of the Holy Spirit. You see, the role of the Holy Spirit is to point people to Jesus. So therefore, if you can say that Jesus is Lord, you already have the Holy Spirit in your life. You see, the Holy Spirit, at the time that you say, yes, Jesus is Lord, at that moment that you become a Christian, has already given you his very first gift, the gift of faith, the gift of saying that Jesus is Lord. We don't need some miraculous second blessing to prove that we are Christian and that we've been accepted by God. The very fact that you state that Jesus is Lord is proof positive that the Spirit is in your life. There's the first gift. If you know Jesus, you've already received it. The second gift, promised, is that God gifts his people with supernatural talents, abilities, and endowments to glorify God for his church. And we know that everybody receives at least one spiritual gift, but we'll talk about that more as the passage goes on. So firstly, test of spiritual gift. Does it glorify God? The second test, if something that you have is a spiritual gift, does it build his church? We see later on in verse 7 that spiritual gifts are given for the common good. They're not given to build ourselves up or to give us the glory. No, instead they are to be used for the common good of the church. And so therefore we can say it's important to gather together as a church, but of course I'm preaching here to the church who is gathered. Like any ability, spiritual gifts will grow with use, like a muscle that grows as it's exercised, but also has the potential to wither away with disuse. In Ephesians, Paul speaks to the church in Ephesus in chapter 4, and he says that spiritual gifts are given to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become more mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Do you see the purpose? They're not for your glorification, they're for God's glorification. It's not so that you feel better about yourself and are able to do spectacular things, but so that you can build up God's church. Two tests of spiritual gifts. Does it glorify God? Does it build his church? Paul then moves into the next part of the chapter. What are the source of these spiritual gifts? Where do they come from? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, we read this. Paul says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Same, same, but different. Here we can see a picture of the Trinity of God. People say, but hang on, there's no such thing as a Trinity. Nowhere does the Bible use the word Trinity, but indeed we can see the Trinity in action. Here we see the Spirit. Here we see the Lord or Jesus, and here we see God the Father working together to give us spiritual gifts for his glorification, for the building up of the church. It's a Trinitarian structure, different persons in the Godhead with different roles, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but with the one purpose. So too, in our spiritual gifts, different spiritual gifts with one purpose. Well, dual purpose, glorify God, build his church. So we can see within the Trinity there is a reflection within the gifts, same, same but different, unity and diversity. But so too in the gifts themselves are there unity in diversity. They are given by grace. Gifts, sounds fairly logical, doesn't it? Gifts are gifts. They are given free of charge, not by merit or not by worthiness or even not by your natural talents and abilities, although quite often that is tied into your spiritual gifts. Sometimes spiritual gifts are a lifelong cultivation, something that you build and grow throughout your life from young years into older age. Sometimes spiritual gifts are given suddenly and unexpectedly for a particular purpose. Spiritual gifts are also rescindable. That is, God can take them back. Particularly, he might take them back through disuse or abuse. Well, they're by grace. Secondly, they're distributed by the Holy Spirit. As I said, not by our own merit or worth, not because we think that we should have them, but simply by the Spirit to the people that he sees is able to use them for the glory of God, to the building of his church. And it's true, they are possibly likely to be connected to your natural skills and talents. We'll look a little bit later on about how you might be able to discern what your spiritual gift or gifts might be. However, not having a particular talent or a particular natural gift doesn't mean that you shouldn't do a job that needs to be done. I've heard recently from somebody who said, Lachlan, I'd love to do the sweeping up, but it's just simply not my spiritual gift. We also know that there's a variety of gifts, and that these gifts, one isn't greater than the other. It might look different, it might seem more spectacular, but it's no more worthy or less worthy than all the others. All the gifts work together like parts of a body, and they are God's work through us. That's an incredible thing to think of, isn't it? That God works through us by the spiritual gifts that he has given us. So we've got a test of spiritual gifts, we've got the source of spiritual gifts, and now we've got the use of spiritual gifts from verse 7. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Firstly, there is a unity in the use of spiritual gifts. That is, they are for the common good. I've heard people say in the past, Lachlan, I appreciate what you do as a job, and I appreciate that you're eager to see people along at your church, but my faith is a private matter. Now, I think I understand what they're saying there, but I'm not sure that it's actually biblical. Here is a challenge. If everyone who is a Christian is defined because they can say Jesus is Lord, we know that they have received the Holy Spirit. And we know from here that to everyone the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good means that everyone has received a spiritual gift. Now, a spiritual gift isn't for your own good, it's for common good. So therefore, gathering together as Christians is vital in order to exercise your spiritual gift. So therefore, I would say, you might feel as though your faith is private to you, but the gift that you've been given is not private to you. It's for everybody's use. And so therefore, we do gather together, and we gather together regularly in order that we can exercise our spiritual gifts for the blessing of others. In Acts chapter 2, the early church there, one of my favourite passages from verse 42 to 47 is this concept of unity and using the gifts that God has given. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, there's a gift, and to fellowship, there's a gift, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer, there are gifts. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything, including their gifts, in common. They sold property and possessions, there's a gift, to give to anyone who had need. Generosity, there's a gift. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. There's the gift of ministry of food. What a great gift that one is. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Well, there's a unity, a common purpose in gifts, but there's also a diversity of gifts. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. There is a manifestation of the Spirit given to each one
of you.
Every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. How do we find it? Well, remember the two tests. It must glorify God and it must build his church. Now, I had a quick search online, Google search, find my spiritual gifts. Popped up with a whole host of different surveys, kind of like Myers-Briggs or DISC. I punched in the answers to 87 questions on this one particular survey. Turns out that everybody has the gift of washing up. Did you know that? I think these gifts are mildly useful, but I'm also a little bit sceptical because what they often don't take into account is the needs of the church. You see, God gifts people for his church. So we need to know the needs of the church to see whether there's somebody who might receive a gift in order to fulfill a particular need. How do we do it then? Well, we might ask a trusted Christian friend, what do you think my gifts are? Not to be boastful or proud, but to say because I want to exercise them, I want to use them within the church. I gave a heads up to some members of our Bible study group that this week we're going to be doing exactly that. In humility, identifying what we think other members of the group's gift might be. Remember, your spiritual gift may be tied to your natural talent or ability. Don't check your natural talents and abilities at the door when you come to church. If God's given you a gift in the secular workforce, then use that particular gift in the church. It kind of makes sense, doesn't it? But remember that a gift may not necessarily be the same as your natural talent or ability. Even a gift might not be something that you're naturally passionate about, although that certainly helps to exercise it. If you're passionate about something and you've got that gift, then you love to use it. A friend of mine had been given the gift of discernment and wisdom. She was able to see the murky situations in people's lives and give a clear understanding of what was going on and therefore a clear direction of what needed to be done. As people came to understand that she had this particular gift, they would come to her regularly with all of their problems. And for this particular person, that became very tiring, as you can imagine. But she realised this was a gift that was given to her by God, and whilst ever she had this gift, she would joyfully continue to use it, such that people could come to her and through wisdom and discernment be able to see a way ahead. Also remember that spiritual gifts may be given to fulfil a particular need at a particular time. Therefore, we need to look for the need. Look around in our church and see what needs to be done. I had another friend who said to me, look, I never knew I had the spiritual gift of encouragement until I saw that need in the church. Here are a couple of areas of need in our church. I was hesitant to actually write these down because the problem is then that that's all we focus on. I don't want us to just focus on these, but here are some particular needs that I'd love for you to pray about and see, do I have the capacity? Do I have the supernatural God-given ability to be helped to fulfil some of these needs? A couple of these needs are to do with while Di and Yvonne are both on leave at the moment. Pastoral care of those who are among us, particularly those who are firstly elderly or disabled. Are there people who could visit or contact people like Nance or Norman or Albert or Enid or Philip or Laurel or Genevieve or Val? Pastoral care of those who have been recently bereaved or widowed, thinking particularly of Norman and Merle and John and Liz and the Amblers. Pastoral care of those who are sick or injured, John and Joy, Betsy, Joan, Marlene, Libby and Michael, Avis, even Yvonne, and Di as well. Please do let me know if you think you might be able to assist by visiting or giving a call to one or some of those people so that we can ensure that we are caring well for one another in our church. Another area of need right at the moment is for Bible study leaders. The Bible studies that Di and Yvonne are leading are in need of Bible study leaders in the interim, in the short term. And of course, a third need in our church right at the moment is generosity. Generosity towards our rejuvenation fund to ensure that our facilities here are fit for ministry for the next 150 years. And I can let you know now with great joy and thankfulness in my heart that already in the bank we have over $81,000 just in the couple of weeks since we've launched this fund. That is great news to glorify God through your generosity. What that means is we are just a little past halfway to affording the first stage of the roof repairs that we need to do on this church. I wonder if you can help get us over the line for the rest of those roof repairs, which is just part of our rejuvenation that we're hoping to do in our church. We should not be anxious about our spiritual gifts, or we should not also be puffed up by them. It is a fine balance. They are by God for his glory, for the benefit of the church. In 2 Timothy, Paul encourages his young protege, Timothy, to fan into flame the gift that was given him. In each of us, there is a spark of a gift that just needs a little bit of fuel and some work on the bellows to see that gift then fanned into flame. But remember that spiritual gifts can also be rescinded by disuse or abuse, so please be careful how you use them. I could go through a list of all things that I think are spiritual gifts, but I think that that would be too prescriptive. I think as you look at the Bible, you can see things that are spiritual gifts. As you look at the needs of the church and you see people working within the church, you're aware of what spiritual gifts are. As you ask your friends, what do you think my spiritual gift might be? They might think of something completely out of the box that you hadn't even seen about yourself. Every Christian receives at least one spiritual gift at the moment of salvation. They're not rewards for work done. They're not even a place of service within the church. They're not a specialty ministry that only you might do. They are rather things that express themselves through various ministries and in turn accomplish a variety of results in our church. Spiritual gifts are the primary channel by which the Holy Spirit ministers to and through believers, a supernatural capacity for service to God, and he gives you a spiritual desire to perform the duties of that gift. They are tools for the building of the church, a source of joy in your Christian life, and they influence your motives. Spiritual gifts are a divine calling with a divine responsibility. They've been given to you, gifted to you by God himself. He has called you to do them, and he has called you and gifted you to carry out the work that he needs you to do. At Christ Church Lavender Bay, we value the generous use of everybody's spiritual gift for the building up of the body of Christ. Let me pray. Father, by your Spirit, build your church and glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.